tonight, we come to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I have chosen to take, as I have in the weeks past, some messages on God's grace. And tonight I want to speak to you on this subject, God's replenishing grace. How does God replenish us? Now, let me say this. I know what it is from my own life to have gone to maybe a missions conference or a Bible conference and God to speak to your heart and God to give you a personal revival in which you're stirred and you want to serve the Lord. You want to tell other people about Jesus Christ. You want to read the Bible. You want to pray. And you have a renewed energy to do that. But you and I both know that there are times in life when we can come to where we just don't have the energy to do what God has given us to do. How do we have the strength to press on? I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 that says, "But they that wait upon the Lord," what does it say, "shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." And what does it say? "They shall run and not be weary," because there's going to be times in life, and I believe phases of life, where we can run and we're not weary. "They shall run and not be weary." They, what does it say? "They shall walk and not faint." There's times in a Christian life where we just have to walk, but God says we will not be faint. How? Waiting upon the Lord. And tonight, God's replenishing grace. And may the Lord help us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we begin in verse number 1. Paul the apostle is speaking to Timothy and he says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Now, please take note that back in chapter number 1 of 2 Timothy, he is encouraging Timothy here to press forward and to finish what God has given him to do. In fact, we know different things here. Look in verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. You should be right there. And it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And here he's saying, Timothy, God's given you power and love and a sound mind. And I believe Timothy was a fearful young man. And Paul recognized this difficulty in his life and this weakness in his life. He goes on in verse number 8 and he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." He says, don't be ashamed. Press forward and go on. And he gives them these things here. Look in verse number 12 of 2 Timothy 1. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast," verse 13, "the form of sound words." Here he is encouraging him, and then he picks up in chapter 2, and he says, "Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Do you know this evening that there are often times in our life where we are depleted and we need to be strengthened with God's grace? For instance, can I say this to you? I was reading the other day about, do you remember when the Lord Jesus was walking? And do you remember when the woman who had that issue of blood, she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment? Do you remember that story? And the Bible says, and I don't think I ever noticed this before. I mean, I read it many times, but God used it to speak to my heart. The Lord stopped and he said, "Someone had touched me." And you know the story. Peter was like, "Lord, everybody's touching you. This is crowded." But Jesus made this statement. He said, "No, someone touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And I thought about that just for a minute. Do you know that the Lord knew someone had touched him and someone had taken something from him? His healing power, virtue had gone out of him. And brethren, can I say this to you? There is a sense in which all of us, as we minister to people, and that's what ministry is all about. It is ministering to people. It is loving people. It is telling people about Jesus. That as we minister, as we serve, as we teach, as we instruct, as we mentor, virtue sometimes goes out of us. It depletes us. Can I tell you this? When a man serves, I think of Pastor Koffenbarger, who served this church for so many years. Do you know that he gave his life for this church? And brethren, I know that this may sound a little strange and odd to talk about. But you know, when a pastor preaches and when a pastor gives a message, it depletes him. Virtue goes out of him because it is a spiritual warfare that takes place. It is an emotional strengthening battle that takes place during that time. A pastor gives of himself. And I think about our teachers in our Christian school. They labor, they teach, they instruct, they give of themselves. And because of us giving of ourselves, whether it be in the choir, or whether it be in the nursery, or whether it be in the sound system, or playing a musical instrument, or whatever we do as we minister and give, as the Lord has taught us to, it takes something out of us. So what do we need? We need God's replenishing grace. We are to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Years ago, I heard this story. I love this story about a little boy one day, and he was watching television, and he was watching a commercial that was advertising for a particular type of laundry detergent. And the commercial talked about that it would really make things clean and all of that. And the boy was sitting there watching that, and it occurred to him that his cat needed a bath. My kind of boy. And he began to think about this, and he thought, you know, that laundry detergent just might do the trick. So sure enough, he went to the store later on that day, and he grabbed some of that detergent that he had seen on the commercial. And he was going through the checkout line, and the grocer there, the sir, said, "Hey, sonny, how come you're buying this laundry detergent?" And the boy replied, he said, "Well, I'm going to give my cat a bath." And the grocer said, "Now, son, That's powerful stuff. That's not meant to give your cat a bath. It's going to kill your cat." And the boy was determined. He watched the commercial, you know, and television doesn't lie. So he said, "No, I've got it taken care of." So sure enough, the boy went home, and he had, you know, given his cat a bath and all of that. And a couple of days later, the grocer saw the little boy back in the store, and he kind of called him and said, "Hey, sonny." He said, "What happened to your cat? You gave your cat a bath. What happened to him?" And the boy looked up at him and said, "Well, he died, you know, just kind of matter of fact." And the man said, "Son, I told you that that laundry detergent was too powerful for him. It was going to kill him. I told you not to give your cat a bath with that laundry detergent." And the boy quickly answered. He said, "Oh, mister, it wasn't the detergent that got him. It was the spin cycle." Well, man. My type of boy right there, you know. But can I tell you this tonight? There are times in life, you know, my kids laugh and they get me to laugh and I can't preach, all right? So there are times in life when it seems like we're in a spin cycle per se. It seems as if the trials and it seems like the problems and the things to deal with, we're just on the spin cycle. We're spinning around and we go days and weeks without rest and days and weeks without seemingly replenishing ourselves. Well, there is an answer for that. And God has given us the answer. It's called His grace. What did God tell the Apostle Paul as Paul prayed three times for God to remove that thorn in the flesh? And by the way, I believe that God does give men thorns in the flesh. I believe it's a physical ailment. And we believe that Paul, it was his eyesight, and Paul struggled with that. And I'm sure he prayed, "And God, I can serve you better without this physical ailment." But what did God say? "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace. And brethren, can I tell you this tonight? God has a replenishing grace that replenishes us and strengthens us and graces us to carry on and to finish the journey that God has for us. Have you ever known of a Christian that, boy, they got saved and they got in church and they began to serve the Lord and they had the joy of the Lord about their life, and then guess what happened? Trials came. That's why the Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. And they think, where did this come from? I've been trying to live for God. And the trial comes, and because they do not depend and replenish themselves, they do not carry on in the journey. Now, can I tell you this tonight? It is my desire, with God's help, that I want to give my life to serving the Lord. I don't want someone one day to say, didn't you used to be a pastor? Didn't you used to serve the Lord? Didn't you used to live for God? What happened to you? What happened? I heard of a recent man that gave up his church and resigned his church, a very large church. And I had just read this article recently, and the man got up in front of his church, and it seemed as if everything was going great on the outside. And brethren, you know something? There is a danger when everything seems good on the outside, but in the inside, that's where what really matters. And he got up before his church and he said this. He said, I'm tired and I'm broken and I must resign. No sin, known sin in his life. It was not something that he had done. But I'm going to tell you what that man failed to attain in his life, which was available for him, was the replenishing grace of God. The replenishing grace. Let me give you some things tonight that I believe that God can help us. Brethren, all of us need something far beyond our human strength to sustain us, to restore us, and to strengthen us for the journey of life. And can I tell you, on the way to church tonight, my wife and I were talking about the journey that God has put us on. And we love the journey, but there's been many days and weeks and months and even years on the journey of life when it's not been exactly what we hoped it would have been. There's been times when there's been great valleys and great discouragement and great disappointments, but it's a journey. But the great thing about it is God is with us on this journey of life. And God will give us everything that we need to sustain us on this journey. That's why Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The ideal there is David is saying, God is my shepherd, I will not lack anything on the journey. And then it goes on, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What does it say? He restoreth my soul. Have you ever needed your soul to be restored, your spirit to be renewed? Brethren, I don't know about you, but there's times when I've come to God and I've said, God, my spirit is wrong and I want my spirit to be made new. Lord, I come to you, my soul is wounded and my soul is weary and I'm tired in the work, not of the work, but I'm tired in the work. Replenish me with your grace. Brethren, can I tell you this? God will do that. He will answer that prayer. You see, God's grace not only provides godliness within our lives, but it sustains us and gives us renewed strength to press forward day by day. You know, someone might tell us, hey, you just got to do the best you can. You got to drudge through life and hope you can make it. I don't want to live life that way. Brethren, can I tell you this? Our best is not good enough. We need God's anointing and His strength to do His work, not in the energy of the flesh, but in the power of the Spirit of God. You see, God's grace enables us to do His will in our life. Number one, I want you to know some things. His grace replenishes our strength. Now, take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. Now, first, I believe, as we talk about strength for serving. Now, you know, there's lots of different people in our church that have lots of different ministries. And ministry is not just something for you to take your time up with. Ministry is serving Jesus Christ. It is giving of yourself for the cause of Christ. You know that no ministry in our church is more important than another ministry. We're all on the same team working for the same goal and the same desire to exalt and to lift up our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're all working to reach people with the gospel of Christ. It may be that you help clean the building. It may be that you help assemble Bibles. It may be that you help take care of the babies in the nursery. It may be that you sing in the choir. And may be that you teach a Sunday school class. Whatever it may be, there are times in each of our lives when we just feel depleted. And we feel as if we have no strength to go on. Now, I want to say this to you, and I want you to listen to me. I've not been in the ministry long, and not long enough to have all the answers. That's for sure. And I don't know if we'll ever get to that place. But I have found this to be true. There are certain times in life, maybe even going through a great valley or even a great time of trial, that it seems like when we're going through the trial, we depend upon the Lord and God gives us His grace. But I think the most dangerous time about that is after the trial. Because it is then that we become complacent and we no longer are dependent upon the Lord, and therefore we become dependent on our strength. And I'm going to tell you something. You and I do not have the strength, the physical strength, nor the spiritual strength to carry forward in the work. We don't have it. There is no way in this world. It is something that God has to give to us. So grace for serving. 1 Corinthians 15:10, the Bible says this. Notice this. Paul is speaking. He says, let's start in verse number 9, if you would please. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul is talking about his life before he got saved. He says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, we all can say amen to that, because it is only by the grace of God that we are what we are tonight, and we are not what we were before we got saved, you know? But he reads on and he says this, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying God enabled me to labor abundantly. Why? The grace of God. You see, Paul partook of God's grace. Brethren, do you know that grace is a gift? And God is the giver of grace. And God wants to give each and every one of us grace to endure, grace to enjoy the journey, grace in for our strength. Do you need that replenishing strength? God replenishes our strength with His grace. I believe oftentimes we get so busy in life. You know, life does not get simpler. It does not seem that way. I talked to a preacher a couple of weeks ago, and he had left a church in Tennessee, and he had went to another church, and God had led him to do that. And he told me this, and it was kind of funny for him to say it to me, but he said to me, he said, Aaron, I was going to this other ministry, and they did not have as many ministries as the church that I had left. And he said, I honestly thought that I would go to this next ministry and it would just be somewhat easier to do it. He said, I'm busier than I've ever been in my life. And you know what? Life is just busy. And if you have children, well, guess what? Guess what's coming after children? Grandchildren. God's gift to you for not killing your kids, you know? And all the things in life. Life just gets busy. And you're busy with work. You're busy with overtime. You're busy with errands. And you're busy with children. And you're busy with all the things that need to be done. And if you and I are not careful, the first things that we will let loose of is our ministry to the Lord, because we say, well, I can't do everything. And we give up serving the Lord. But Paul is telling us here, this is why the Lord has given us this command to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because He knew that there would be times that we would be tempted to stop serving God. And that when our strength begins to fail, we're going to think, I got to give this up. And I can't do this anymore. And I got to give this up because I just don't have any more strength. It's gone. God's grace is available to replenish our strength. And by the way, it's not my strength. It's His strength in me. And brethren, can I tell you this? You say, well, Pastor, how do I receive the grace of God? You've got to get alone with the Lord. And when you're alone with the Lord, He strengthens you. He enables you. Can I tell you this? There have been times in my life, and I'm sure there's going to be many other times, when I'm so weak not necessarily physically, but I'm weak spiritually. And I come to God and I get in His Word, which is bread for my soul. And I read the Word of God and God begins to speak to me and God begins to deal with me. And then I talk to the Lord. And by the end of that time, He has replenished me. He has stirred at me. God's grace replenishes our strength. Now, back to what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the word strong there, it says, be strong in the grace. The word strong there means to be enabled. It means that God enables us. I don't know for you, but I know what it is to preach without the divine enablement of God, and it is terrible. I don't know that there's anything worse than that right there. It is terrible. But I do know when God is with me when I preach, there is a divine enablement. It is not something mystical. It is not something, spooky in any way that way. It is that I know that His presence is guiding me and teaching me and leading me what to say. And brethren, you know at times in your life, maybe it's through a trial and you are depending upon the Lord and you are having to spend time in prayer because you don't have anywhere else to turn to. And it's during those times that God's grace is enabling you and strengthening you. I'll just say this as a pastor. I visit a lot and I'm in people's homes and at the hospital. There's been so many times I've been in the home of someone that's going through something so difficult. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm amazed at the grace of God in their life. I'm amazed at it. I hope they don't mind me using them as an example tonight, but it's a good example. But the Siemens have went through something very, very difficult. And in many ways, they're still dealing with it. And she was involved in a car accident, a head-on collision, and someone that wasn't paying attention and hit their family. And this was, a couple of weeks ago. I remember getting the phone call from Miss Ruth, and I had just arrived in Wisconsin at a preacher's conference. And then later on, I received a call from Bill, and of course, they were trying to get together and all of that. And I felt so helpless to be able to help them. And I remember getting off the phone and getting on my knees and saying, God, give them the grace that they need to deal with every day. And you know what? In the days to past that, when I would talk to Miss Ruth and talk to Brother Bill, I would sense the grace of God. And when I went up to see him in the hospital a few times, it was evident that God was helping them and ministering to them and comforting them. And I remember saying to my wife, it is amazing, their spirit, but that is God's grace. God's grace strengthens us. It is sufficient for our need. You see, God's grace is an inclusive word that has for the power, the inner working, and that God enables us to serve Him effectively. But it's also grace to deal with trials and suffering in our life. Take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter number 4, and I want to show you something here. Hebrews 4 is a very special verse to me. God is simply saying to you and me tonight, if you will be strong in my grace, you'll get everything done that you need to get done. If you'll be strong in my grace, you can do the work that I've called you to do. I remember years ago coming to an old-fashioned altar and surrendering my life to preach. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I can't do this. I wonder if God maybe smiled and said, no, you can't do it, but I'm going to help you do it. And I'm going to enable you to do it. And brethren, I think sometimes we come to the Lord and say, God, I can't go on. And I believe the Lord says, yes, I know, you cannot go on. You see, the saying where people may say, well, God won't give you more than you can handle. Brethren, God gives us more than we can handle all the time. You see, it is not us handling it. It is not us bearing the weight and the load. God gets underneath the load with us. We are to get in the yoke with Him. And that's where He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The Lord says, get close to me. I'll give you everything you need to do the work that I've called you to do. Brethren, do you think that God would call us to do something and not enable us to do it? Oh, listen, with God's call comes His divine enablement. As we seek His face and as we come to Him, He strengthens us with His grace that replenishes us for the work. Hebrews 4:16. Why does the Bible continue to use this word grace? Because it's what we need. Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Even God Himself said, "I have called my throne a throne of grace, because it is there that you receive what you need to receive to continue the journey." I remember I was 17 years of age and I was in high school, and I surrendered the call to preach, and I knew there was lots of temptations. And I thought to myself, "Lord, how am I going to make sure that I stay pure and clean and morally clean and pure? And Lord, how am I going to marry God's choice for my life? And how am I going to know where to go and what to do? And you've called me to preach, but where am I supposed to go?" And I mean, I had all kinds of questions, and I feared failing God. I feared getting out of the ministry. And can I tell you this tonight? I still have that same fear. I fear that. I fear ruining my testimony, and I fear that in my life. And sometimes it scares me to think about it. But I'm going to tell you something. It is the Lord that preserves you and me. It is the Lord who strengthens us. It is the Lord who protects us. It is His grace, and I have a throne that I can go to. It's a throne of grace that God says that we will find mercy and grace to help in time of need. God says, "Come to me. I'll give you my grace." His grace replenishes our strength. You know what happens, especially during times of trials? Our tendency in these unexpected times of trials is to draw back and to live in fear and doubt, and to almost say, "Lord, what's going on in my life? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to live for you. I'm trying to honor you with my life." And Lord, by the way, I'm going to tell you this. When times when you step out on faith and you seek to do something for the Lord, maybe it is a different thing in your life that you're trying to do for Christ. Maybe it is trying to obey Him in different ways in your life. Or maybe it's a time to say, "Lord, I'm going to give my life and I'm going to sell out to you." That is when you're going to face, I believe, sometimes your greatest trial and your greatest temptation. Because the devil knows that's the time to deal with you and me. And times when we're weak physically and weak spiritually, the devil puts his greatest test against us. Why? Because the devil knows it's the grace of God that sustains you and me. Look here, can I tell you this? You and I are nothing. We really are. We can do nothing. John 15, "For without me ye can do nothing." We have no strength of our own. We have no wisdom of our own. We have no ability of our own. But when we look to God's grace, it replenishes us. His grace replenishes our strength. Would you go back to 2 Timothy, I want you to notice something here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I love this. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And that's where we started our message here this evening. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 7. Do you remember that? "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Well, that's a precious verse. Think of that. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You know, fear cripples you and me. Fear keeps us from doing the work of God. Fear of failure, fear of disbelief in God, fear of all kinds of things. We all have fears in our heart. Let's admit that tonight. But God did not give us that spirit of fear. That comes from the devil. He has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. What is that? That's God's grace. That's His grace, power, that divine power, love. Look, you and I, as I talked about this morning, we cannot love people in our own strength. It is not possible, but God's grace loves them through us. And I remember years ago hearing the story about a man who had been unsaved. And boy, he just hated people, you know? He just hated everyone. And that's kind of true of a man that sometimes that's unsaved. He loves himself and that's all he loves, and he doesn't care for any people. But he got saved. And a few weeks later, they had him give a testimony in church. And he got behind the pulpit and he said, "Well, I'm so thankful to be saved. God has changed my life." And he said, "I don't know what it is, but everybody here looks so good. Y'all are the most prettiest people I've ever seen in my life, you know?" Well, can I tell you something? Those people hadn't changed, but he had changed. What had happened? God's grace in his life. God's grace enabled him to see the beauty in people. And I'm going to tell you, that's what God does for us. His grace enables us to love people and to see their need and to see that they are created by God. And God loves them. He gives us power. He gives us love. But he gives us a sound mind. Look, do you need a sound mind? Boy, all of us need a sound mind. We need a mind that is resting on God. That is his grace to you and me. His grace replenishes our strength. Number two this evening, his grace replenishes our spirit. Would you take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Can I ask you this? Have you ever noticed that even Christian people through the years of trials and overtime and raising families can become negative and critical in their spirit? I've seen this. Not here, thanks be to God for that. But I've been places where I have seen a man that once was a beautiful Christian. And by the way, there is a beauty about a person's life when they honor the Lord and know the Lord. There's a beauty about them. It's the beauty of the Lord. But I've seen people that used to have such a heart for God become so negative and critical in their life. I've seen it. In fact, I could mention some names to some famous preachers that you and I know that I have been told in their latter years of life that they became negative, critical, and cynical in life, and they died just like that. And I don't want to live that way. I don't want to come to the end of the journey and for people to almost think, boy, he lost the joy of the Lord. What happened to the joy? What happened to that joy of Christ in him? And brethren, I believe the greatest thing that you and I need in our homes and that we need in our churches is a spirit that is right with God and a spirit that is joyfully anticipating God's working in our life. You know, I played basketball when I was in high school, and we had cheerleaders. And sometimes the cheerleaders would come out, and they would do a cheer. They would say, "We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you?" You know, and the crowd would say, "We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit." And it would kind of go back and forth. But you know what? Sometimes if someone would have to ask you and me, "Do you have a good spirit? How about you?" We would have to say, "I do not have a good spirit." And boy, the devil works hard to wound our spirits, and our spirit is wounded, and the joy is gone, and the abundant grace of God is not evidenced in our life. What do we need? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to notice something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says this. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish..." Does your outward man perish? I'm talking about the physical you. Well, sometimes we, as I'd say in Tennessee, we get just plumb tuckered out, you know. We get tired physically. "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You see, tonight you see the outward man right now. You see it. You see the outward man of my life, and I see the outward man of your life, but I cannot see the inward man in you, and you cannot see the inward man. And you know what? Some of us, our inward man is very depleted, and he's weak. In fact, he's in ICU, you know? He's not doing well at all. He needs sustenance. He needs to be replenished. He needs strength. He needs help. He needs the Word of God. He needs prayer. He needs help. Why? Because it's the inward man. God says the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the grace of God. What does the Bible say? His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Brethren, I cannot get past that we must have that hour, that quiet time alone with God, that we come into His presence and we allow Him to reprove us, to correct us, to strengthen us, to change our wrong spirit. You see, at times we don't have the spirit. How is your spirit tonight toward the things of God? Look here, I'm going to tell you this. Well, the devil works hard at our spirit towards God. He wants us to think that there is something wrong with God. When a prayer goes unanswered, you think it's unanswered. Well, the devil's quick to say, yep, God doesn't care for you. God doesn't love you. God didn't watch over you. God did not protect you. You prayed this morning that everything would be fine, and yet you had something happened, and I guess the Lord did not meet your need, you see. And what does it do? It wounds our spirit. And we begin to think wrong about God. How is your spirit towards the church? How is your spirit towards your spouse? How is your spirit towards your children? Do you know that oftentimes, as I talked this morning, people can offend us? Have you ever met someone with an offended spirit? They're offended. I mean, they're so quick to be offended. By the way, I believe oftentimes, have you ever talked to someone before that maybe they are hurt or injured? By the way, I don't know if Mac's here tonight, Mac Wright, but anyway, yeah, there you are, Mac, all right? You can appreciate this. Have you ever had a toothache before? How many's ever had a toothache, all right? If you have one tonight, go see Mac Wright, all right? He'll fix you up. But can I tell you something? When I have a toothache, can I tell you, my toe hurts when I have a toothache, you know? My whole body hurts, you know? I mean, I'm serious. I mean, it makes everything hurt. And there are some people in life, they have a pain. They have been wounded somewhere in their spirit. And because of that, they hurt everyone else because of that. Because they are hurt, they hurt other people. And they're wounded in their spirit. But it is God's grace who replenishes our spirit. It is God's grace that can strengthen our heart. He can supply us with all that we need. God wants to create within you a right heart. That's why David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. That's what God's grace does. Take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And I'm showing you many verses tonight because I'm praying that God would use this in our life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I come to the third point here. His grace replenishes our strength. His grace replenishes our spirit. But number 3. His grace replenishes our supply. Now we're back at this verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You see, it's God Himself who comforts us. Why? Through His grace. His grace. And by the way, folks, tonight, His grace is available for each and every one of us. Look, if you have something in your heart that is not right, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace can enable you to forgive. God's grace can take the bitterness out of your heart. God's grace can help you to forgive that one. God's grace can enable you to deal with that difficult person on your job site. God's grace can help you and strengthen you and help you think right. God's grace will give you power and love and a sound mind. His grace replenishes our supply. I don't know about you, but I know at our house with 2 teenagers and a 9-year-old boy, that we go through groceries like cattle grazing in a field, you know? I mean, I'm just telling you something. It is amazing to me. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse, you know? It really is. I have to hide things. Do not eat that, all right? All right? I will disinherit you if you eat that, all right? You know, for instance, our supplies run out fast in the house. You know, they just don't have a glass of milk. They have a half gallon of milk when they drink it, you know? And it's not just a little ice cream. It's like the whole half gallon of ice cream gone, you know? I mean, it's just amazing to me how the supply, we have to resupply constantly just to keep up with the fast rate of depletion in our groceries and all of that. And you know what? My wife Every Monday, she goes grocery shopping, and, Mom, I'm going to tell you something. You know, by tonight, man, it's getting a little low in the house, you know. And it's like, honey, it's time again, you know, because the cattle have been grazing once again. But you look here. Is that not true of our Christian lives? We get depleted pretty easily, do we not? It often seems that our strength is constantly running out and that our spirit is being diminished and we do not have what we need. Take your Bibles in closing and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to show you this in closing tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. You see, brethren, this is the nature of the spiritual battle that we wage from day to day. And we've seen that God's grace will restore us and renew us from within. I'm reminded of, you know, the Olympics are a special time whenever the Olympics take place. You remember Michael Phelps, the great swimmer, and of course he has won so many medals and been, I mean, just amazing, an athlete. But I read one time about all that he has to eat to sustain his workout and to sustain the swimming and all that he does. His body has to be replenished. His body has to be restored. And brethren, each and every one of us, we go through trials, we go through valleys, we go through life. Life is busy, life is difficulty. There is many trials and testings and we get dirty and we get wounded. We need our supply to be replenished. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word." Now let's look at that verse again. Notice what he says. He says that in simplicity and godly sincerity. How many ever thinks in your mind of that little cabin with a little stream running beside it with deer out there? Of course, we kill them. But, you know, and it's a simple, serene place. How many ever thinks about that sometimes? Sure. We all do. But you know something in the Christian life? There is what the Bible talks about, the simplicity with which is within Jesus Christ. And godly sincerity. And it says, not with fleshly wisdom, because that's where your supply gets diminished. When we think, well, here's what I'm going to do. Stop right there. Because when you say, this is what I'm going to do, you need to think, is that what God wants me to do? Is that God's way? It says, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. We have had our conversation. The word conversation means manner of life. It says in the world and more abundantly to you word. Do you know that God has designed that our lives to be supplied day by day? He gives us the grace that what we need to train our children, to lead our families, to be the co-worker that God has called us to be. What do we need? We need God's grace. It replenishes our spirit, our strength, but our supply tonight. I know this with all my heart, that what happens in my life, I want it to be God doing it. I'm reminded of Acts 20, verse 32. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Brethren, I know this, there, what you need tonight is found in Jesus Christ. You see, He saved you many years ago, but He is still your Savior. He is still your personal rescue worker, and He rescues you and me from ourselves, and He rescues us from destroying our lives. I'll tell you what we need His grace. God's replenishing grace. Let us come to Him in prayer because it's a throne of grace. Let us go to His Word, which is able to build us up because it's the Word of His grace. And He will give us what we need for the journey. Look here. I want to stay in love with Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen a couple that have been married for many, many years and they still hold hands, you know? They still like one another. That's kind of a refreshing thing to see, is it not? They're still in love with one another. It's a beautiful thing, and that is God's design. But can I tell you this? God wants us on this journey of life. Yes, we're going to have trials. Yes, we're going to have valleys. But God wants us to stay in love with Jesus Christ and to receive His strength and His grace. Look, come to Him. He says, I will in no wise cast thou out. And when we come to Him, He gives us what we need for the journey. He's our shepherd. And when we are with Him, He restores us. He replenishes us. Let's pray tonight.